Well, welcome to everybody to the gospel tonight. I'd like to start with number 32. Please, somebody start it.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus, so that not one spot remains. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the cross that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I plead. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blow that makes me white as snow. Is the stone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No
Before we pray, I want to just explain why we sang this hymn tonight. For a number of years, I've had the privilege to go to a retirement home every Saturday morning. And there was a man that came to the meeting week after week for many years. And one day I got a phone call from another resident at the retirement home. And he said, I'd like you to come in because Herbie wants to get saved. So, got in my truck and I went over to the retirement home. Went up to Herbie's room. Clarence was there. And me. I said, Herbie, I understand you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He said, yes, I do. So, the three of us prayed one at a time. This brother, this dear man, accepted the Lord as his Savior. You know, made it worthwhile to go week after week. There's others that have been saved. But you know, there was a change in the life of Herbie. From then on, Herbie was at the meeting, but Herbie was a different man. About that time, there was another man that started coming to help me at the retirement home, and his name was Bruce Wood. Bruce has since gone home to be with the Lord. But Bruce asked me, he said, Paul, would you mind if I ended each of the meetings in prayer and we sang a hymn? This was the hymn that we sang every week, and we have for years, every Saturday morning. What can wash away my sins? Now, Herbie was at the retirement home, so was his mom. Herbie was at the retirement home because Herbie is handicapped. And Herbie passed away on Saturday, last Saturday, and Herbie's funeral was on Friday. And we were gone on our trip here. And I was sad to miss Herbie's funeral. Herbie is a vessel that God used for the blessing of other people. There were times where I would forget, after Bruce passed away, to sing this hymn at the end. And Herbie would say, sing, sing. He couldn't speak very well. Herbie, what do you want to sing? What can wash away my sins? Tonight, what about your sins? I'm going to pray for help because I'm weak and I need help. I want to represent the Lord Jesus well here tonight. And if there's somebody that's not saved, your sins are all over you. You're filthy in the sight of God. Jesus can wash away your sins. But we sang, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus had to die so that your sins could get washed away. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I need thy help tonight. I'm weak. It's hard for me with my friend Herbie passing away. But we know, Lord Jesus, that Herbie is in heaven. No more with a handicapped body. No more with a feeding tube, with a wheelchair. But with a changed body. Lord Jesus, we thank thee so much for the privilege for us to be at a gospel meeting and for there to be one more opportunity for us to think of the Lord Jesus and how he bowed his head in death and died and how a soldier came and pierced his side and outflowed that blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We ask for thy help. We ask for anyone here tonight who has never recognized their need as a sinner, with all their sins before a holy God, and come and ask for forgiveness. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross. And many of us that are here tonight are so thankful. Now we just pray for the audience, for those that are already saved, that together in prayer, they may pray for souls here in this room. So we ask for thy blessing. We ask for thy help. And we ask above all that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. We pray in his wonderful name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you about another story, another friend of mine that went home to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven in the last couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago. My brother-in-law told me this story. He was there. He was saying goodbye to his brother-in-law who had cancer and was going to go home to be with the Lord. He was at his brother-in-law's house. This gigantic man came to the door, knocked on the door. My brother-in-law answered the door. He said, yes. He said, well, I've come to say goodbye to Mike. He said, okay. He said, how do you know Mike? He said, well, it's a long story, but I'll make it short. He said, 10 years ago, I did a delivery at the farm where Mike worked. It was a snowy evening. The ground wasn't frozen, and he went off the road a little bit, and he got the truck stuck. He said, Mike came out to me at the truck. He said I was really upset. I was angry. I was saying words that I shouldn't have said. He said Mike went to the shed and got their four-wheel drive tractor out and pulled him out with a chain. And he was still fuming mad, cursing, swearing. And Mike said to him in a quiet, calm voice, he said, "Sir, I pulled you out of the mud," but he said, "you've obviously got some troubles." He said, "I've got coffee inside. We need to have a coffee. Come on in." The man said, 5 hours later, he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. That big man, his family was a mess. He was about to have a divorce. Children couldn't stand him. He was unhappy. He was on his way to hell, and he knew it. And Mike said to him, "We need to talk." They talked for 5 hours, came to Christ. You know, he was coming a couple of weeks ago to say goodbye to Mike because Mike was about to go to glory, to be with the Lord Jesus. He went into Mike's room. My brother-in-law was there. He said, Mike, thank you. Thank you for having the courage to tell me the way to heaven. Thank you for telling me that there's hope for sinners. There's a way to be right with God. He has a happy marriage. He's united with his children. He's reading his Bible, and he's a happy man. How could this be? The Lord Jesus saved a soul. Tonight, I don't know where you are, but God does, and God loves you. God loved you enough to send his Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you. He suffered for you. He shed his blood for you because he loved you. There's two people. They came to the Lord Jesus in their need, in their sins. And they're gone to glory. They're with the Lord Jesus tonight. We know that on the authority of this book, the Word of God. Last week we flew into Vegas, rented a car, saw the Hoover Dam, never been there, always wanted to see it, and it was very impressive. Huge structure, very useful for irrigation, flood control, you name it. Then we drove to the Grand Canyon, looked over the edge, looked across. I said to my wife, I said, "You know, if every American grabbed a rock and threw it into this hole, it would hardly look like there was anything at the bottom. It's so big. And yet it's just one of the things that God has made." And that's who we're going to deal with tonight. That God. Not only did he make the Grand Canyon, but he made you. God loves the Grand Canyon. He made it for his pleasure. But he made you for his pleasure too. And he loves you. And tonight, if there's someone in the room tonight and you say, "My sins have been too bad." You know, the Bible tells us that the chief sinner got saved. You haven't done anything like what he did. God in his love will save, he'll save to the uttermost them that come to him. What I'm getting to with our driving trip up here to Aberdeen was all the crosses that I saw along the road. You know, there's some on this highway just outside Aberdeen, there's two. There's another one a little further along. Just one road, it's not very long. The road between 86 and Aberdeen, there's three crosses. You start looking for crosses at the side of the road, there's a lot of them. You know what those represent? Those represent somebody who died on the highway. And at home, there's a lot of them too. It's everywhere. Death is all around us. I want to talk about one little scene I saw on our way here. There was three. There was one big one, two little ones. What does that mean? You know what it means? A dad or a mom and two kids. That's what it means. And you may think that you're just young. You have the whole life ahead of you. But maybe not. The question we have for you tonight is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal and loving Savior? Question, how come these crosses are put beside the road? Do you think it's all Christians that have done that? Or do you think it's a symbol of something? It's a symbol of death. Who died on a cross? Jesus did. Jesus died for me. Can you say that? Jesus died for me. Just before we came, the job we had was framing a house for a Christian lady. We don't normally do that. But we did, because she said she felt like the Lord wanted us to, and we had the time. We got the trusses up and the sheeting on the roof. I came in the next day, and there was all kinds of Bible verses written on the side of the trusses, on the headers. One verse after another, one verse. They were beautiful. Talking about the building, the foundation, all kinds of things. Tonight, I'm going to talk to somebody in this room who's not paying attention, who says, it's not for me. Another contractor who's doing the roof. He came into the structure. He looks around, sees these Bible verses. You know what he said to me? He said, man, she's a holy roller. I said to him, yes, she's a Christian. And I said, but if you neglect God in your life, you're going to pay for it. And this lady has accepted the Lord Jesus as her Savior. You need him too. You know what he did? He's about my age, maybe a little younger. He turned around and he walked out the door as fast as he could go. And is there somebody here tonight and you'd like to walk out there as fast as you could? You're uncomfortable. You know you're in your sins. They're all over you. And before God, he knows every one of them. Everything you've ever done that's wrong. Everything you've ever said that's wrong. But what's worse, he knows everything you've even thought that was wrong. And he has a complete record of that. And you're uncomfortable, just like that other contractor. He was uncomfortable. And if you're uncomfortable tonight, I'm happy. Provided that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in all your sins and you say, will you save me? Will you take me just like I am? Will you wash away my sins in your precious blood? That's what the Lord Jesus wants to do for you tonight. That's what he did for me. I'm just a rotten sinner. I'm telling you. I've said bad words. I've thought terrible things. I've done terrible things to people. There's people here that know to think some of the things I've done. But by the grace of God, he saved my soul. He gave me a new life. And I'm headed to heaven to be with him and Herbie and Mike and you if you come to him tonight? Well, I would like to look at a question that we find three times in the Word of God. First time in the book of Job. Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7 and verse 17. The question is, what is man? What is man? This book was written thousands of years ago. People don't know exactly when it was written, but God does. I'm content to know that it was written a few thousand years ago. That's fine with me. But this question is asked, what is man? You know, when you stand at the side of the Grand Canyon, you feel pretty small. And you know, up by Lake Powell, there's this horseshoe in the canyon. We took a little bit of a walk over to it. There's no guardrail there. And I don't know how many feet it is down, but boy, I tell you, I don't like looking straight down and knowing that one step and I'd be dead. So, being a little bit afraid, I decided that instead of going right to the edge, I'd lay down, crawl over, put my head down, and look over the edge. And I had my cell phone with my video camera on, because my dad's severely handicapped, and I want to be able to show him what it looked like. I'm telling you, you feel pretty insignificant when you're there. You realize that God made this. It's awesome. The God of creation, compared to me, just a man. I couldn't make anything like that. And neither could you. And yet God loved you. And God loved me. Why? He made the Grand Canyon, but he loved me. He loved you. Why? Let's turn over now to Psalm chapter 8. The eighth song. Same question. Here we have David, who is the king of Israel. Later on in his life. Verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This was written over 3,000 years ago, too. Here's another man. He wasn't looking at a canyon like I was last week. He was looking up at night. And I think every one of us has done that, too. I live out in the country in eastern Ontario. And there's the next biggest city is probably 60 miles away. Gets dark, real dark. When you look up, you can see a lot of stars. And I have crummy eyes, so I got to wear glasses. But there's people that can see a lot better with telescopes than I can see with my eyes. And they see a lot more stars. And they see more and more and more and more billions of stars. I haven't looked into it too much, but I understand that there's billions of galaxies and billions of stars, and you do the math. God is big. Why did he care about me? Why did he care about you? But he did. He does. And he does tonight. And you're here tonight because God cares about you. And God wants you to do something about your sins tonight. Now the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to face God concerning your sins? Are you willing to humble yourself and say, yes, I have sinned. And I deserve the punishment for my sins before a holy God who made the universe and the Grand Canyon. That's who we're dealing with, is the God of the universe. But it goes on to say in this psalm a little bit more. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and it talks about the Son of Man. And you know, the New Testament explains what this means. And if we had only this chapter and we didn't have the New Testament, we'd be kind of baffled by what it meant. The Son of Man, lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. What does this mean? Well, let's turn over in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 6. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So on. Well, here we have the answer to this question, what is man? You know, there's a hymn that we sing sometimes that says, Lord, what is man? 'Tis he who died. And we're introduced in verse 9 to a very special name. And that name is Jesus. Jesus means Savior. I love that name. But I can tell you, there was a time when I did not love the name of Jesus. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight and you don't love the Lord Jesus. I had to tell you another story. I worked for about 8 months in the house of this lady. She never said any bad words. She was only kind. She was very nice to us, very respectful. I enjoyed working there. She was a Catholic lady. Finally, I said to her, Stephanie, you know, I've worked here for a long time. I've been impressed with the way you conduct yourself. Are you saved? She paused. She said, well, you know, in the Catholic Church, we don't say we're saved. But she said, I know what you mean. She said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, can you say that? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And has it affected the way that you live? You know, we spoke about Herbie. We spoke about the truck driver. We spoke now about Stephanie. How about you? Maybe your life is a mess. I don't know. I'm not from here. I don't know who you are, but God knows. And if your life is an absolute mess tonight, and you're in your sins before God, there's hope. There's a solution, and it's from God, because He loves you. You know, we read about Jesus. That's the Son of God. The Lord Jesus became a man. He came into this world as a little baby. He was born in a barn, in a manger. There was no room for Him when He was here, when He came here. He was born in a manger to Mary. He grew up and He was taken by people like me. When He was 33 years old and He was taken before a Roman governor, falsely accused and mocked and treated shamefully, the very Son of God. And He was condemned to die. Three times the governor said, "Why? What evil hath He done?" The Jewish people, the religious leaders said, didn't answer the question. They didn't want Him. And Pilate, willing to content the people, says, condemned Jesus to be crucified. Who was Jesus? The Son of God? Crucified? Yes. That's what happened to Him. But that was God's plan. I don't understand it. I have four boys. I wouldn't give one to die. To die. But to die for sinners, for people who hated Him. Yes, that's what God did. He gave His Son to die on a cross for me when I hated Him. That's how much God loved me. And tonight, you too can come to the Lord Jesus in all your sins and all your need and get saved. You can confess your sins to God. You know, in the book of Luke, there's a man that said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." But that's what he had to do to have forgiveness. And God in mercy sent His Son. He's willing to save you tonight. So let's read a little bit further. "He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He became a man." Jesus became a man so that He could die. What that means. He was made a little lower than the angels. He didn't become an angel. You know, an angel one day in the Bible, it tells us he was able to kill 185,000 soldiers. One angel. But Jesus didn't become an angel to communicate to men. He became a man so that He could. And it says here, verse 9, "For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man." The grace of God. Now you say to me tonight, what does that mean? What does it mean, grace of God? Well, I want to tell you what the grace of God is to me. I was a sinner. God loved me. God sent His Son to die for me. And did I deserve it? No. I hated Him. I remember when I sat in meetings, boys, just like you. And I remember people preaching and I was like this, without my fingers in my ears. But my ears were closed. I didn't want to hear. I didn't want to hear that I was a sinner. I didn't pay attention, but by the grace of God, He broke me down and He brought me. The Lord Jesus brought me to Himself. May it be that He'll bring you too. Well, crowned with glory and honor. Where is the Lord Jesus now? The Lord Jesus is in heaven. You know, He was crucified. On the third day, He rose again. And then he went back to glory 40 days after being on the earth 40 days. And that's where he is today. He's at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where he is. And I know that because that's what the Word of God tells us. Now the question I have for you is, do you believe that? If you believe that Jesus right tonight is right sitting at the right hand of God, then you'll do something about your sins. Because the Lord Jesus, before he died, he said, if I go away, I will come again. The Lord Jesus is going to come again to this world. How did the people like me treat the Son of God? They sent him to the cross. You think that's okay? Or do you think God has something to say about that? Be sure he does. There's a verse that says, be sure your sin will find you out. This world is guilty of the death of God's Son. Judgment is ahead. Don't be fooled to think that things are going to continue on forever. You know, the Grand Canyon's been there for a long time. But there's changes coming in this world. And you know what? People know it down deep. People are afraid. They're afraid of what's coming. And tonight, if you're not saved, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you are in your sins, then you better be afraid. You better fear to fall into the hands of the living God. Tonight, God loves you. God is providing you with His Son as to be your Savior. But if you say, no, I don't want that, then what? Then it's judgment. We were in a hotel down in Arizona somewhere. This kid on his t-shirt, it said, I wrote it down, I'm going to read it. Later, maybe never, so do it now. Later, maybe never, so do it now. You know, there's some people in this room, and you've said no to the Lord Jesus a bunch of times. Maybe you've said, like I did, I don't want it. Maybe you've said, well, I'm just young. I'll wait. I'll do it later. But remember the story of the three crosses? The big one with the mom or the dad and the two little ones? You might not get another chance. So do it now. Now I'd like to just, in closing, look at another passage in John chapter 19. I talked about the Roman governor and how he could find no fault in the Lord Jesus. Verse 4. Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. Tonight, I present the man to you. God's man, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's man. And Pilate presented him to the Jewish religious authorities at that time. He says, behold the man. Tonight, I say, behold the man. Jesus Christ is the only one who can save your soul, who can forgive your sins, who can bring you to heaven. Tonight, have you come yet? Or are you saying, no, not for me. Not for me. You know, there's some people that go to hell saying, not for me. I spoke to a man. This was so sad to me. I presented him the gospel. I told him how, as a sinner, he could come and have his sins forgiven and God would take him just as he was with all his sins. He looked at me. He said, I'm an old man. I've been this way all my life. And that's how I'm going to stay. To me, it was a tragedy. He rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I never saw him again. Perhaps he had another chance, and he did come to the Lord Jesus. Perhaps this is your last chance. What are you going to do tonight? Are you going to say, yes, Lord Jesus, I have sinned, and I deserve to go to hell, but I don't want to go there. And you died on the cross for me. Because you did that, I want to be forgiven. I want to have you as my personal Savior tonight, right now. Will you come? Will you take the Lord Jesus? He loves you. He wants you. He died to redeem you. Come tonight. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we are here with this wonderful story of Thy love, of how Thou didst go to the cross, how Thy blood was shed so that sinners like us could be forgiven. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for hanging there and suffering in our place, for wearing that crown of thorns and the purple robe, for allowing the spit of men to run down Thy face. We think of how for 3 hours there was the judgment of men upon Thee. They mocked Thee. They told Thee to come down from the cross. And then there were 3 hours of darkness when the sins, my sins, were placed on Thy blessed head, when Thou wast punished so that anyone could have their sins forgiven. And Lord Jesus, we just pray there's somebody here tonight who's not listening, who has not come to Thee to have their sins forgiven. Oh, we just pray that they would be disturbed in their hearts, that they would turn to Thee, Lord Jesus. They would not have any peace and rest until they have this settled of the matter of their sins. We thank Thee, our God, for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for Thy plan of salvation, that vile men and women, boys and girls, could get to Thy home without their sins, but Thy Son had to pay. And we give thanks now for this opportunity to be together. And our God, most of all, we thank Thee for Thy dear Son. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.